an unorthodox hypothesis on Sunshine by Wonky Elk. A Stargate Atlantis McShepfic, rating mature. Read by Start with Alex. Cover art by Cassiope 25. It's not exactly news. Everyone knows he thinks the sun shines out of McKay's ass.
He certainly checks it out often enough. Maybe he's trying to prove the hypothesis.
Yeah, man, I swear, it's like there's some kind of tractor beam leading from those sweet, biteable buttocks straight into Shepard's eyes. Hey, mine too, sometimes. I mean, biteable doesn't cover it. If anyone's behind is stuffed full of sunshine, then it's McKay's, because dang, that rear view is hot. The things I want to do to that ass.
There was a snort. Well, don't let the Colonel hear you list any of them. He'd put a perimeter around McKay in a hot second and fry you with his laser glare of hands off my booty.
So, do you think he's already...
The voices trailed off around the corner, but not before the words tapping that floated, faint but distinct, in through the open door of the meeting room, which was suffering, just like other areas of the city of late, from a mysterious jamming malfunction. There was a tense silence which stretched across a few dozen ice ages, before Ronan broke it by loudly scooting his chair into a better angle for making a considered assessment of the feature in question. Rodney, who before the interruption had been in the middle of presenting an ingenious solution to the current spate of small but irritating technical glitches on the city, turned around and pressed his back firmly to the wall, feeling his entire body glow hot and pink with a mixture of hyper-embarrassment and a certain awkward gratification. He'd never been called biteable before, and it required some processing.
"I can assure you, Ronan, that I am not storing any suns in there."
Ronan shrugged at him with a thoughtful look, as though the jury was out on the subject.
"But you got a pretty nice moon, though."
Shepard, meanwhile, had fixed his gaze on the desk, riveting it there firmly as if to prevent the activation of any ass-based tractor beams. He couldn't have become any stiller if you'd slathered him in resin and left him to set. Elizabeth coughed and looked firmly around at the others, her face set and composed, in the sort of manner which is clearly holding back gusts of laughter with a sterling heroism until they could be released in a seemly solitude.
"Well, Rodney, I think the brief periods of staggered power outage you propose are well worth it to fix our little problem. You have a go. As for the rest of the agenda, I think that can be postponed until next week, unless anyone has any objections."
Lorne, Zelenka and Beckett shook their heads in unison and broke speed records getting to the door, carefully not looking at either Rodney or Shepard, while Taylor gave them a sympathetic look and walked out with Ronan. Rodney made to follow, but naturally he wasn't allowed to just escape and go bury his throbbing humiliation in the ocean, as was the only meet and proportionate response, but was instead called into Elizabeth's private office, on which the door was thankfully closable, along with the very last person he wanted to make eye contact with right now.
"Gentlemen."
Shepard was as stiff as Rodney had ever seen him, with a look like he was experiencing all-body toothache.
"I really don't think there's any need to discuss this, Elizabeth."
Rodney pointed at Shepard.
"What he said, nothing to discuss."
Elizabeth looked at them both, sighed and nodded.
"Just a couple of things, then. One, I intend to send out a note to all personnel on the subject of what is, and isn't, appropriate to discuss in relation to their fellow Atlanteans, at least in public spaces. Two, I have no wish to delve into your personal lives any more than is necessary, and I certainly don't intend to judge, but given your respective roles here and the military regulations, I would personally appreciate having a heads up if there are, or were, to be any..."
Elizabeth paused just long enough and with enough of a sense of mischief in her eye that Rodney thought with a sort of frozen horror that she was actually going to use the word ass-tapping in relation to him, which would, of course, cause his instant death from profound mortification.
"Complications in your relationship. I hope you feel able to trust me enough to be candid."
Shepherd leaned forward intensely and all but growled. "Elizabeth, I cannot state strongly enough how much I am not screwing Rodney."
"Well, that seems unnecessarily emphatic. I'm not exactly unscrewable."
Rodney was a little surprised by his own hurt, but then he had been briefly offered a reality in which Shepherd was addicted to his ass, and held rather flattering, if unscientific, views in relation to the origins of sunlight. It was a bit of a bump to be brought back to earth again. Besides, Shepherd was kind of hot when he was this intense, and just when did he start thinking his best friend was any kind of hot at all? Even when he was putting his hand to his head and looking very much like he'd been hit with an unexpected hangover and was wondering how he'd missed the drunk part. Fine, okay, Rodney, you're screwable. Actually, you're exceptionally screwable, maybe the most screwable person I know, but that doesn't change the fact we're not actually screwing. Right, good point. Rodney found himself more saddened by this state of affairs than he would have been mere minutes before. Then he brightened a little. Most screwable, really? Shepherd made a slight despairing sound, though there was a hint of a smile on his lips. Would you like me to get you a trophy? Rodney gave this idea the consideration it deserved. Too much dusting. Personally, I prefer certificates. Belatedly, they both remembered where they were and looked guiltily at Elizabeth. I'm glad that you two seem to be coming to an understanding on this matter, but perhaps this is a conversation you should be having elsewhere? Elizabeth looked torn between laughing at them and having genuine concerns that they might suddenly launch into a practical demonstration of Rodney's superlative screwability right there on her desk. And he really shouldn't have allowed himself to be ambushed by that particular visual, in full colour and high definition, because that was something very like a squeak he'd just had to swallow, not entirely successfully. Shepherd looked at him thoughtfully for a long moment, as if pulling every last detail of that image from his mind, then turned back to Elizabeth, still a little stiffly, but with more dignity than he should by rights have left to him. Rodney himself had run out of his last drop several sentences ago. I think that's an excellent idea. McKay? He nodded towards the door, and they both tried to leave in a way which looked like neither ignominious flight from the most excruciating experience that either of them had ever had, Wraith included, nor like two people with screwing so much on their minds that they might not actually make it to a private room. They did, in fact, make it, though Rodney wasn't sure if it was his place or John's, because he found himself pressed against the wall as soon as they entered and was, honestly, more than okay with that. John's mouth on his was insistent, desperate, pleading and demanding in turns, and Rodney wrapped his arms around him, keeping him centred, assured, promising with every touch and every press of the tongue that he wasn't going anywhere. Well, except for the bed, because wall sex might be hot in theory, but his back would have some words to say about it later. With a little manoeuvring, Rodney steered them both over to it, where they plastered themselves together for a few more minutes, before remembering that this whole thing would go better without clothes. Nakedness proved to be the best idea in the history of ever. Rodney wanted to touch, to kiss, to explore every inch of John, while John seemed to have very similar ideas about Rodney. He shivered with pleasure as John squeezed his ass just right and kissed him long and deep, kneading rhythmically all the while, until Rodney just accepted that whimpering was going to happen and that he was okay with that. I've been wanting to do that for a long, long time. Rodney grinned at him. Like to check for sunshine? John shook his head affectionately at Rodney, laughed, and then flipped him over with a dizzying ease, kissing him gently and oddly reverently from neck to spine, like something to be cherished. I thought you'd never ask. And if it took 3 months before Elizabeth could speak to them without looking like she was mentally stuffing socks in her own mouth to hold back the laughter, and longer still before they could look at her desk without getting ideas, it was still more than worth it. The end.